remember all that perished in the struggle for our freedom. All hail our heroes. Our prayer shall be known both day and night. Say them always. All hail Biafra.
By this introduce an erudite speech by an eminent scholar and orator, Odenigbo from New Jersey, United States of America, who is also one of the contributors to Radio Biafra daily broadcast. This speech has been selected by our listeners who have requested that this speech is given prominence and circulated widely because of the wisdom, the insight and resourcefulness in helping the indigenous people of Biafra to recount and go down memory lane of the developments and events of the Biafra-Nigeria Civil War. And of course, the plight of the indigenous people of Biafra in the contraption called Nigeria. We present Odenigbo. On this 29th day of October 2013.
Right now, I feel it is important to draw the attention of all Biafrans and, in fact, the international community as well to what the Biafrans are fighting for. That is the restoration of the Republic of Biafra. The series of injustice perpetrated against the people of Biafra was initiated by a mercenary soldier working on behalf of the British government. His name was Frederick Lugard. In the year 1914, Lugard, as colonial administrator and friend of the House of Fulani, using his connections with the British colonial office, committed the most outrageous fraud in human history by unilaterally declaring the amalgamation of northern and southern protectorates in our part of Africa and naming these territories Nigeria. This British mercenary did not consult the people before forcing them into an unholy union of his dreams. The name Nigeria was really a coinage from two words, Niger, that is the river Niger, and area, meaning the area of land around the river Niger. It does not require a rocket scientist or a wordsmith to forge this name. I understand that the name was in fact suggested by Lugard's wife. For Lugard to choose the name Nigeria for his contraption is clear evidence he was only interested in the land and its resources, not in the well-being of people of diverse cultures inhabiting the land. So, ab initio, the name Nigeria was only a geographical description without any cultural or historical content, and has remained so up till today. For even Lugard himself described the north and the south as oil and water, that can never mix. About 30 years into Luger's experiment, in 1945 to be exact, the first catastrophe struck. Biafrans were slaughtered in northern Nigeria by the Hausa Fulani as a clear expression of their resentment of the amalgamation. In 1953, the Northerners struck again. Once more, Biafrans were the victims. The Nigerian census of 1956 was rigged in favor of the Northerners by their British friends, who inflated the population figures for the North to the detriment of the South. The pre-independence federal elections were similarly rigged by the departing British colonial administrators to benefit the North against the South. It was not therefore surprising that a few years after independence, Nigeria descended into anarchy and chaos. This time again, Biafrans were the target, chased away from all over Nigeria as hundreds of thousands of them were murdered in northern Nigeria. In May, July, August, September, and October 1966, Biafrans were hounded and massacred all over northern Nigeria by the Hausa Fulani shouting, "Araba, Araba," meaning secession. The bruised and battered Biafrans returned to the safety of their homeland to nurse their wounds, abandoned by the federal government of the country to which they were supposed to belong. A national conference was held in Aburi, Ghana, under the chairmanship of General Ankrah, the Ghanaian head of state. Far-reaching agreements aimed at keeping Nigeria together were concluded between General Yakubu Gowon, representing Nigeria, and General Chukwu Emeka Odumegwu, representing the people of Biafra. But in a most arrogant display of power, Nigeria unilaterally annulled those agreements. The Biafrans had no other choice but to declare their independence on May 30, 1967. Instead of allowing Biafrans to nurse their wounds in the peace of their homeland, Nigeria, propelled by sheer hatred and arrogance of power, declared a war of aggression against the beleaguered Biafrans. Nigeria wanted the land of Biafra without the people of Biafra, and conducted a three-year genocidal war to achieve that purpose. At the end of it all, about 3.5 million Biafran men, women, and children were killed in their homeland. I have never read anywhere that people of different cultures and religions had been forced to unite by sheer military means. The American Civil War was a unique case. Prior to that war, all the states had voluntarily consented to join the Union after a gruesome war of independence against the British. But when the southern states refused to give up slavery and decided instead to secede from the Union, the northern states, led by Abraham Lincoln, took up arms against the South as a matter of principle. The North believed that since all men were created equal, it was unjust for people to own slaves as private property. The American Civil War was not in reality to unite the country, but a war in defense of human rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. In its genocidal enterprise, Nigeria obtained the ready military and diplomatic assistance of Britain, the former Soviet Union, Spain, the then Organization of African Unity, led by the former Ethiopian head of state, Emperor Haile Selassie, the non-aligned nations, led by President Tito of former Yugoslavia, and the United Nations Organization, led by U Thant. The lie being bandied about by Britain and Nigeria was that if Biafra was allowed to secede from Nigeria, the whole of Africa would be afflicted by the disease of secession. Shamelessly, the so-called civilized world colluded with Nigeria in the massacre of millions of Biafran men, women, and children. The principle of human rights was thrown to the winds. Biafra was strangled by overwhelming military force, diplomatic fraud, and starvation. Even Christian charity organizations and the International Red Cross were dissuaded and frustrated by Britain and Nigeria from delivering urgently needed food materials and medicine, which would have saved lives. Whether we believe it or not, there is a great being who is in control of events on earth. Some refer to him as Karma. We call him God. Nigeria thought that once Biafra was defeated in battle, everything would be all right, and she would live happily ever after. There is no way you can spill the blood of 3.5 million people and expect that there would not be some retribution. We all know what is happening to Nigeria today. What of the greatest ally of Nigeria? War against Biafrans, Britain. One quiet afternoon early this year, two machete-wielding Nigerian extremists attacked a British soldier and killed him in broad daylight and bragged about it. That event was one of the greatest insults inflicted on a world power such as Britain. Right now, Scotland is in the process of seceding from Britain after about 400 years of marriage voluntarily entered into by England and Scotland. Yet, it was the same Britain that scared the world stiff about the impending balkanization of Africa should Biafra go its way, and led the chorus of the sanctity of the territorial integrity of Nigeria as the Biafran War of Independence raged on. I do not know what will happen to the territorial integrity of Britain when Scotland eventually secedes. The truth is that a territory can never be more important than the people who live in it. That is a basic principle of human rights. But the British government, under the leadership of Harold Wilson, did not believe that the Biafran people were entitled to the same human rights which British people enjoyed. That is why Harold Wilson is one of the least respected world leaders today. As leader of the Organization for African Unity, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia campaigned against the existence of Biafra because he believed that it was allowed to exist, the province of Eritrea, which was then part of Ethiopia, would secede. But in spite of Haile Selassie, Eritrea is now an independent nation. What about President Tito of Yugoslavia? As leader of the non-aligned nations, President Tito campaigned against Biafra because he feared that his country would break if Biafra were allowed to exist. Where is Yugoslavia today? In the dustbin of history. Out of the ashes of Yugoslavia emerged 4 or 5 countries, in spite of President Tito. Now, the former Soviet Union supplied Nigeria with all the MiG fighter planes with which it terrorized, killed, and maimed Biafran men, women, and children in their homes, in marketplaces, in schools, in churches, in hospitals, and in refugee camps. Where is the great Soviet Union today? In the dustbin of history. From the ashes of the former Soviet Union emerged 15 independent countries, including Russia. What of Egypt? While it was not clear whether the Egyptian government cooperated with Nigeria during its war against Biafra, it was common knowledge that Egyptian pilots were responsible for the indiscriminate bombing and strafing of civilian targets that accounted for the loss of thousands of lives. They were probably mercenaries who did not want to risk their lives and therefore avoided raiding the war fronts, since they must discharge their bombs and kill some people. They frequently went for soft targets such as markets, schools, and hospitals. After all, they knew they were engaged in a war of extermination anywhere, and the civilized world was behind. See what is happening in Egypt today. Not so good. By contrast, the five countries that recognized Biafra, namely Tanzania, Zambia, Gabon, Ivory Coast, and Haiti, have enjoyed peace and stability till today. Their heads of state at the time of the Biafran saga, namely Dr. Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, Mr. Omar Bongo, Mr. Ufe Boigny, and Papa Doc, François Duvalier, were some of the most respected statesmen in the world. Tanzania has not disintegrated, even though it is a union between mainland Tanganyika and the island of Zanzibar off the coast of East Africa, a union voluntarily agreed by the two entities without a land border, but with strong cultural and historical ties. Where was the United Nations organization on the blight that was Biafra? Missing in action. The world body never for once had testimony from the Biafran people. It listened only to Nigeria because Britain, as a permanent member of the Security Council, thwarted all effort by Biafra to present her case to the world, and by implication deceived the United States on the issue of Biafra. It is now time for Nigeria to pay its debt to history. It is the wish of everybody concerned that Nigeria should disappear peacefully, letting the component parts go their way after 100 years of an unholy marriage that has refused to work. Or Nigeria may choose to die a violent death. This would make no sense, since too many lives have already been lost, and the land is soaked in blood. Since all things made by mortal man must perish, so shall Nigeria, made by Frederick Lugard and his wife, cease to exist. And from its ashes, the Republic rebels. The case of India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh is one worthy of emulation. So also are the cases of former Czechoslovakia, former Yugoslavia, Ethiopia and Eritrea, as well as Sudan and Southern Sudan. Thomas Jefferson, writing the American Declaration of Independence, said, and I quote, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This idea goes back to Athens of the 5th century BC, when Socrates spoke of a law of God respected by all, barbarian and Greek alike, or in the Antigone of Sophocles from the 5th century BC, when Antigone appealed to the law of God that is the same for all over the world, and justifies any action that might break the laws of men. Cicero defined natural law in his works on moral values as the law of God revealed in the reason of his universe. It is one law, valid in all places and in all times. It will be the same in Athens and in Rome and in every future nation to come, for that law rests with God, and there are consequences for breaking the law of God. I hope the United Nations will be alive to its responsibility this time around, and that the international community will stop playing games with African lives. The loss of 3.5 million Biafran lives can never be in vain. That would run counter to the principles of natural justice, laws of nature, and of nature's God. The people of Biafra have waited all these years for reason and common sense to prevail, for justice to be done, so that old and current wounds can start to heal, and the spirits of 3.5 million Biafran men, women, and children can start to rest in peace. It is time for the restoration of the Republic of Biafra. God bless people of goodwill around the world, and God bless Biafra. Thank you.